Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the content in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
Welcome to Catholic Baltimore. My name is Father Brian Nolan. I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. I'm here with Joe Palkovic. Joe is a Catholic layman and also a police officer, so I'd like you to welcome to our program, Joe.
Thank you, Father. I'm happy to be here.
Joe brings two interesting experiences, and we're going to divide this up into two segments. The first segment we're going to focus on is faith in college, and we hear a little bit more of his experience in growing in faith in college and the importance of that. In the second segment, as I mentioned, he's a police officer, and we're going to talk about how faith shapes how he lives out his vocation as a police officer. So, Lord, let's begin. Faith is, we have a number of our listeners who might be young adults who are about to go to college for the first time. We have parents that are sending their children or resending them to college. Joe, maybe you can give a little bit of background of your experience prior to college and how you got connected while you were at McDaniel College.
Sure, of course. Well, you know well about my experience at McDaniel College because you were, at the time, you were an associate pastor at St. John's in Westminster. Which is two blocks away from McDaniel.
Sure, yeah.
And growing up, I think I was very privileged just by virtue of the fact that I was raised in the Catholic faith. Both my parents are Catholic, and while they're not perfect people, they're both definitely believers, and they raised me and my two older brothers to be practicing Catholics and believers. And so I obviously had that going for me. We all went to 12 years of Catholic school, and I obviously had the choice of whether I wanted to go to college or where I wanted to go to college. And I, for a very short time, just a very short time, I considered a Catholic college. And then I thought that I should branch out a little bit. And so
Catholic colleges are good. Both are good, but it sounds like you discerned that for yourself. Yes.
So I think growing up, I think I appreciated the Catholic tradition for what it offered in terms of moral formation. I definitely had a very influential set of friends who were practicing Catholics. And when I was ready to leave the home and go on to college, I felt like I was prepared, you know, for the world. So that was kind of why I chose to go with the college that I wanted to choose for secular reasons rather than religious reasons. Probably for my first 2 years of college, I really didn't have a connection with fellow Catholics on campus. but I did attend church on Sundays at St. John's, which it was easy to do because it was two blocks away.
Sure.
And my roommate was Catholic, and so we would walk to and from Sundays. And sometimes we'd go, there was a Sunday night mass, and we'd go to the Sunday night mass. And that actually, at that parish, was a really powerful mass because of the youth group, the youth band. And that was very touching to me, and it got me more interested. I also was dating my now wife at the time, and she, also practicing Catholic, got me very much interested in the faith.
That's right. She was a fervent Catholic, just on fire with her.
Yeah, and a graduate of Loyola University.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Another Catholic university, yeah. Sure. If you can speak about what was your experience of, or would you say, what were some of the challenges?
I don't think it's ever easy to practice your faith, personally, but I was involved. I was a track runner, so I was involved with the track and field team. And one of the things that all college kids, I think, no matter who they are or where they come from, I think you're immediately looking for some belonging, some sense of fitting in somewhere. And so being a part of the track team, it was a ready-made group of friends, which is beautiful and important, and I really, really appreciated it and do still today. But they don't all share the same values.
Sure.
It's very easy to kind of get sucked into the debaucherous parties of college that are, you know, college is famous for. And So those things were going on all the time. And I personally, having grown up a Catholic and been practicing my faith coming to school, I felt uncomfortable in those situations too. And so that sense of belonging was something that I was still kind of searching for, even into probably my junior year of school.
And how did you get connected your junior year?
Well, it's funny that you asked that question because I'm talking to the person who connected me. So
remind me of the specific story. Yeah, right.
There was no specific incident, I don't think, but something inspired me, I think, to attend daily mass a couple of days a week. And I started coming to daily mass, and there was another priest there, Father Leo Padalingo.
Yeah, sure.
Who immediately noticed the young person coming to to daily mass, and he pulled me aside after probably the second time I showed up, and he said, "I'm going to take you to breakfast." So we became friends, and he strongly recommended that I get involved with the Catholic Campus Ministry Group, which you, Father, were the chaplain of at the time. And so that became a really great group of friends for me and built wonderful connections with the group and with you, obviously. So
one of the things that about Joe that really stood out is you could see the gift of how the Mass, which is the source and summoner of faith, just changes things, you know, with frequent Mass or even daily Mass, where it just shapes and forms us, and it's one day at a time. And I could always see the difference. Joe's nickname was Good Joseph, Good Joseph, and it really stuck with me. Whenever I saw him, it was like, there goes Good Joseph. And what's even more beautiful was for our listeners, his now wife is Mary, so I call him the Holy Family, Joseph and Mary. So what a great blessing to see you grow in faith. Are there any? Can you give one or two examples of other ways that you grew in faith in college, specifically with Catholic Campus Ministry?
Catholic Campus Ministry provided something that was kind of lacking in my life in terms of service. We did a couple of service trips, as you know, because you took us. and that was a side of life, I think, that I would never experience in my all my secular kind of endeavors. You know, I was a history major. In the history department, there was no charity, you know. In the track and field team, there's no charity. And so Catholic Campus Ministry kind of, it didn't just connect me to kind of the idea of service, although it did that, but it also connected me to people that I would never meet otherwise. And I think that that's a huge, huge developmental necessity, I think, for anybody. Just to become a more well-rounded person, I think you need to meet people who are not at all like yourself. And Catholic Campus Ministry, as odd as it seems, did connect me to people who are not like me.
So that example of, you gave several examples. One is just growing in your own faith personally, your love of God, specifically through daily Mass, and even just loving others, that service becomes a way of our faith fuels us to think about others, to care about others, to make sacrifices and respond to others. What a great, great blessing. It's for me as a campus chaplain, I'm finishing up 10 years as chaplain of Mount St. Mary's University. So you were in the early days of Catholic Campus Ministry. So maybe
honored that you wanted to have me on your show. It's like,
right.
I feel like I'm your only success story or something.
That's right, exactly. But what's beautiful is that wherever your son or daughter is going, or if you have a young person who's going to college, get connected to faith. If you're at a public university, connect to a Newman Center. If you're at a Catholic university, get connected to campus ministry. These are ways that for yourself and for others to grow. Our guest is Joe Palkovic. We'll continue our conversation in a moment. I'm Father Brian Nolan, and you're listening to Catholic Baltimore.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Archbishop William E. Lurie acknowledged the renewed pain and anger caused by clergy sexual abuse following the release of a Pennsylvania grand jury report that details some of the actions taken by Cardinal William H. Keeler when he was bishop in Pennsylvania. Archbishop Lurie said in a statement August 14th that at this difficult time in the life of the Church, we in the Archdiocese of Baltimore are especially saddened and troubled by the news of the late Cardinal William H. Keeler's failures while serving as Bishop of Harrisburg. one of six dioceses cited in the grand jury report. Cardinal Keeler was auxiliary bishop of Harrisburg from 1979 to 1983, when he became bishop of the diocese until his appointment to Baltimore in 1989. In 2002, Cardinal Keeler made Baltimore one of the first dioceses in the country to release a comprehensive list of names of priests who had been accused of sexual misconduct with minors. The report came just a few months after the U.S. bishops, gathered in Dallas, approved the Charter for the Protection of Children and Young People and accompanying norms that required dioceses to implement zero-tolerance policies regarding clergy sexual misconduct. Archbishop Laurie noted that in light of the painful revelations about the cardinal's failures to protect children while serving as Bishop of Harrisburg, it is no longer the plan of the archdiocese to name the proposed new Catholic school in Baltimore after Cardinal Keeler. He said, quote, "The findings of the grand jury, which follow recent revelations about alleged abusive behavior by Archbishop Theodore McCarrick, are rightly a cause for anger, disillusion, and pain among many in our church. These feelings towards the church must be met with more than prayers and promises. They must also be met with action by any and all with responsibility for ensuring the safety of children and others in our care," end quote. The Archbishop said it's clear that any such efforts must include lay involvement, for no longer can we expect the faithful to entrust this to the hierarchy alone. After the grand jury report, the Archbishop said since he arrived in Baltimore, he has made the healing of survivors and the strengthening of the Archdiocese's existing child protection efforts a top priority. Quote, "Key to our efforts is the strength of our independent review board and our mediation program for survivors of abuse. Both of these rely heavily on the independent leadership of laity, which will be integral to the credibility and any effort to advance reforms in the church to bring about greater trust, accountability, and transparency. These are all critical to our ongoing and daily efforts to protect those in our care and to promote healing among those the church failed to protect," end quote. For more information and resources on the archdiocesan response to the abuse crisis, visit archbalt.org/accountability. That's archbalt.org/accountability. For ongoing coverage, visit catholicreview.org. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, I'm Kevin Parks.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the church full-time. The Catholic Review. Pick up the print magazine monthly at your parish or have the Catholic Review delivered to your home every month. You can get fresh news every day online at CatholicReview.org. Subscribe to the Catholic Review e-newsletter for twice a week updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Find our app on Apple and Android and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print and online, at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Welcome back to Catholic Baltimore. I'm Father Brian Nolan. I'm here with Joe Palkovic. Joe is a corporal at the Frederick Police Department. And Joe, I wanted to talk a little bit more of you as a vocation, not just as a husband and a father, but as a police officer.
Sure.
Maybe you can share a little bit about how does your Catholic faith help you, or how does being a Christian affect why you do what you do?
I think being a Christian is the main influence of what made me want to become a police officer, because I feel and I can speak for probably most police officers when I say this, I feel a sense of duty to my fellow man, you know, to reach out and to protect him and to just kind of stick my neck out there for other people. And that's a Christian principle. And to the extent to say, it would be accurate to say most police officers feel that duty to their fellow man, even above and beyond their instinct for self-preservation. And I think that's uniquely Christian in a lot of ways.
Living that, there's no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And frankly, police officers do that for the community.
Exactly.
life of a police officer. How can an average citizen understand the life of a police officer? I find it fascinating. Sometimes we forget here we have men and women that are living their daily life but willing to sacrifice themselves. Kind of describe your experience.
This is something that's it's kind of hard to get people to understand, I think, in today's climate, just with the way everything's gone in the last couple of years. But I think, again, I think the most important thing about anybody in any calling, in any profession, any vocation, is the most important thing is to kind of remember that they're human. And for me, it helps humanize me, I think, that we did that first segment where we talked about my life and how I became who I am. And the thing is that you just have to remember that everybody that now wears a uniform and a badge, they have a background story just like that. And you don't know it until you know the person. And it shapes how they think and feel and how you react to situations. And I can remember lots of times when I was a brand new police officer where I stepped into a situation and maybe I hadn't really decided what I thought about what the situation was yet. But it seemed to me that I was stepping into a situation where everybody else there already knew what I thought. And I didn't know what I thought. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So it's like, you know, that happens all the time when you pull somebody over. That's like the number one thing you do as a new police officer is pull people over. You pull traffic stops, right? And you pull a traffic stop and you make contact with the person and maybe you didn't even see the driver. You know, maybe you just saw the car run the red light and you pull the car over and the driver is telling you why you pulled them over and it's not why you pulled them over, you know?
Joe, there's probably more people, police officers help more people pray when we get pulled over.
That's true too. Yeah. And the thing is, anytime there's a cop behind you, you get nervous. I still get nervous when I'm driving and I have a cop behind me. So it's just a natural kind of human thing. But I do think that people lose the sense of the fact that we're paid to do. I mean, it's called law enforcement, so there are laws, and we're paid to enforce them. So when I go out there, there's a job that I have to do, and I have to hold people accountable for things that they don't always want to be held accountable for, or they don't agree that they need to be held accountable for. You know, and so you're always the bad guy when you're the cop. You know, you step into any situation and everybody else feels that they were in the right, and it's your job to step in and say, actually, no, you know?
At times, I can imagine also, I think sometimes we forget, for a police officer, every time you approach a car, it could be just a regular person for a speeding ticket, or the danger that comes. You're approaching a person who you know nothing about, and while maybe a good portion of them aren't dangerous, it's possibly could be dangerous. So you're putting yourself up every time you come and you go to someone's window. You never know what you're approaching as well. So this idea of it's easy to take for granted, like, oh, it's just me you've pulled over.
Well, the thing is that they're 99% of the people you pull over are nice, normal people, decent people. But if you pull 100 traffic stops, then one of those people's not. And so you have to remember that we're preparing for the one person who's not, because we don't get a second chance at that. And so every time a police officer pulls a traffic stop, you know, they pull you over for speeding or whatever it is, they're approaching your car like you're a threat to them, because they have to. I mean, they don't get a second chance.
You just don't know.
Right.
And sometimes it's easy to take for granted, oh, that's Joe who's down the street, or Susie who, oh, everyone... Who would ever pull over Susie? But you're just pulling over a car, and you have no idea what you're approaching. But how would you say your back to the question of, give some examples of how your faith has enhanced you being a good police officer, a faithful police officer in your duties.
Well, one of the things that it's easy to lose sight of as a cop is, I already talked about the sense of humanity. You know, it's important to remember that cops are human, but it's important for cops to remember that the people that we're dealing with are also human, and they are made in God's image and likeness, and they have a dignity. And when you're a police officer, your whole job is to go from one person's worst day to the next person's worst day. You just go, you know, your entire day as a police officer is to go step into people's lives at the worst moment in their lives. So you do it all day long, every single day. And it's easy for you to lose sensitivity. It's easy for you to lose compassion. And as a Christian, I do, you know, prayer helps me to remember that it's important for me to treat people with compassion and dignity in all situations. And even people that, you know, they're doing horrible things, and I still have to treat them like they're God's child, you know.
I can imagine that would be difficult for an argumentative person or someone who says, I'm not in the wrong when they've just been caught doing something really awful.
Well, I'm not going to say I'm perfect at it either.
Yeah. But that does take almost a spiritual stamina for... Can you give any instances of how, of the ways that you pray outside of being a police officer or prior to your serving
sure.
as a police officer?
And I think it also goes through cycles in life. You know, sometimes I'm really good about prayer and sometimes I'm not.
Sure.
But, you know, when I'm doing really well with prayer, I think
sure.
I pray before, during, and after my shift as a police officer, but just because it's, you know, before it's a little bit of selfishness, I guess. I'm praying for my own safety, for, you know, for my family and everything, that I'll get back to them. And then during my shift, I pray for the people whose lives I'm stepping into, and sometimes whose deaths I'm stepping into. And now in my current job, where I'm a detective, I see a lot of death. And so praying for the dead is something that's very honored in Catholicism, especially. And it's important to me, I think, and I think it's important for all of us that, you know, you may not know who the police officer is that responds to your death scene, but it would help you, I think, to know that they're praying for you.
It's a spiritual work of mercy to pray for the living and the dead, and that's one of the great gifts as we commend them to the Lord. I just read a beautiful quote by Pope Benedict that says, our whole life ascends to an encounter. All of our life ascends to an encounter ultimately with the One, and we want them to be spiritually prepared to meet the Lord and see them face to face. Can you give an example of something that really, example that makes you proud to be a police officer?
Yeah, you know, just recently, I think maybe 2 months ago or so, a woman came up to me who I, you know, really did not recognize at all, and I can't imagine that I had seen her before, but she came up to me, she asked me my name, and I told her. And she said, unequivocally, you saved my life. Thank you. And I didn't remember that incident. She told me the story.
Wow.
Even after she told me the story, I didn't remember it. But she knew my name, and she knew what had happened, and she knew that I had saved her life. And that's one of the things that you can't put a value on. So it's just really, it's a beautiful thing to be able to be that for people and maybe not even remember, you know.
It's almost like the tip of the iceberg, that there's so much of a beautiful backstory of how God allowed your connection with her in that maybe brief moments, but how it helped her. And, wow, the many, many graces that when you see the Lord, God willing, when you see him and he says, well done, good and faithful servant, they always say that revealing of the ways God used you as a police officer. So many blessings. Joe, thank you for being here on Catholic Baltimore, and what a great blessing. We pray for police officers. We pray for you. Thank you for coming today for Catholic Baltimore.
Thanks a lot, Father.
I'm Father Brian Nolan. God bless you.
For 143 years, New Cathedral Cemetery has served the needs of the Catholic community of Baltimore and Central Maryland. New Cathedral is the only cemetery owned by the Archdiocese of Baltimore and is the final resting place for many religious orders and famous citizens. 125 acres of rolling hills, trees, and beautiful monuments, the cemetery is an oasis of peace and tranquility and is located off Edmondson Avenue just outside of Catonsville. New Cathedral is dedicated to the task of tending to the mortal remains of our dearly departed and has many more years of available space. If you are in need of a burial site, vault, monument, or marker, or just a respectful location to place your cremated loved ones, our counselors will help you through this process and make sure the wishes of you and your loved ones are honored. Visit us online at newcathedralcemetery.org, like us on Facebook at New Cathedral Cemetery Bonnie Bray, or call 410-566-7770.
Child abuse is not only a crime, it's also a sin.
The Archdiocese of Baltimore has long made the protection of children a leading priority in its parishes, schools, and other ministries. The Archdiocese seeks to keep kids safe through rigorous training and background checks, and by implementing a zero-tolerance policy for anyone credibly accused of abusing a child. For more information about the Archdiocese's efforts to keep our children safe, please visit www.archbalt.org.
Life can be hard, and at times we feel overwhelmed and alone. When faced with problems, know that there is a group of Catholics who are part of the prayer ministry of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, waiting to lift you and your needs to God in prayer. This ministry is comprised of men and women, young and old, religious and lay, from every ethnic and cultural background. They pray as individuals and in groups, in homes and meeting spaces throughout Baltimore. Like you, they are people who have suffered the same hurts, fears, pains, sickness, loss, and everyday burdens. Learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at www.archbalt.org. If you are in need of prayer, send your prayer request to prayers@archbalt.org or by phone to 410-547-5517. Would you like to volunteer to be a part of the ministry? Prayer ministers are always needed. Please call or email our coordinator, who would be happy to speak with you.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.